Greetings from K9 to Diddly-Dum, Diddly-Dum, Diddly-Dum. End of message.
So you got to give us a song, K9.
We wish you a merry Christmas. We wish you a merry Christmas. We wish you a merry Christmas and a happy new year. We all like pudding. We all like pudding. We all like pudding.
Happy day, faithless listeners, and welcome to episode 175 of the Diddly Dum podcast, the fourth best Doctor Who podcast out there. I'm Doc.
Where's Hayden? I'm Mark, by the way. Who? Where is he?
Hayden, it's typical on the run-up to Christmas. He's outside bringing in the drinks. He's about... he's a good hour and a half late. Bringing in our Christmas drinks. Let's just see if he's, if we can see him. Just open that window, would you, Mark?
Oh, Christmas!
That's about £500 worth of heating we just lost.
Can we hear? Right, well, it's so cold. Let's not open the doors until the very last minute.
No.
We'll just let Hayden put the hoses down the trapdoor into the wine cellar. Right. Can you open the main door, please, computer, and close it as soon as possible, please?
Oh! Ow! You could have let it open a bit longer.
Where have you been?
Well, I'm sorry, dear chaps. I know I said I was only going to be 20 minutes, and I've probably missed the start of this podcast, haven't I?
As usual.
I'm really sorry. Yeah, sorry about that. It's just I was trying to drive through town. It's just the worst thing imaginable. Not only was there sheets of ice out there, not just one sheet, but actual sheets of ice. So it was really hard trying to get the truck down the roads. But I just kept getting stuck at pickets as well.
Oh.
It was just all, you know, at one point I went past the post picket, then I went past the nurse's picket. And it's just, I just started thinking, God, there's just... And then, would you, Adam and Eve, and then went past the flying pickets.
What, the staff at Heathrow on strike as well? Have you had the heater on in your cab? He's glowing, isn't he? Oh, let me just rub my... just put my hands against you, Hayden.
Oh. Oh. Come here, Hayden. Let me put my hands on you. Oh, he's toasty.
Put your hands on, put your hands on. I had my ready break this morning, so I've had, like, my radioactive glow all day. So it's quite nice. No, Mark, not there. Not there. Come on.
Oh, this is the warmest part, Aidan. Those aren't pillows.
I'm afraid we've discovered faithlessness.
Thank you, John Candy.
I'm afraid we've discovered faithlessness that our economic model to fund the Hooseum didn't take note of soaring heat costs in Europe. And so we've had to turn off all the central heating in the Hooseum. Mm. And Mark and I are absolutely shivering. Should we pop down to the basement, see if there's anything... Basement? We're not Americans, are we? Should we pop down to the cellar, see if there's anything we can shove in the furnace?
Oh, mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep, sure.
Good idea.
Let me just turn these wine hoses off. Hang on a minute. There we go, all done. Right, let's go down, chaps.
You can't! They're outside now! We closed the door!
I used the force?
Right, can we find anything to burn? Just shove over that. What's that big wooden crate, Hayden? Can you shove it over, will you?
This must have about 30 copies of Action Comics issue 1 in there. Maybe we should burn them.
Now, I tell you what, I've got this... I picked it up from a church jungle sale earlier on this year. I thought, this is brilliant. This is... it's 250 copies of Doctor Who in an exciting adventure with the Daleks in this pink cover. And I thought, well, these would be worth a fortune. I'm sure Tim said something about them. I was having a look at them. And the story's all wrong and rubbish. Chuck them on.
Yeah, all right then.
It goes straight from the meeting on the green, ignores going back to the Stone Age, and it ends up going straight into the Daleks. And he's got a glass Dalek. It's just, they're absolute nonsense. Just nobody would want these, so...
What is in this wooden crate? What's this burnt into the lid? BBC property. Please keep safe.
Oh, right. Let me just call... So hang on, what's that? There's a number on there, chaps. Hang on, there's a number on that, Kate. Hang on. Hello? Yes, hello, Mrs. Nash? Yeah, do you want these? No? All right. Can we do whatever we want with them? Excellent. Brilliant. Thank you so much. Cheers. Bye. Now, she said burn the lot, lads.
Oh, excellent. Brilliant.
Oh, right. What's that serial number on top? 51241. Oh, no, it's not numbers, it's letters. It's Sarah. She was the killer. Because I was happy watching recently. Hey, it was so bleak, Caden, honestly. How did you get as far as that?
Yeah, I think I did. Is it Series C?
No, that's Series 1.
Oh, yeah, you've seen that one. Yeah, you've seen that episode then, yeah. Blake 7 reference there for people who didn't know.
Avon punches out the woman and says she better get rid of her. I'd really rather enjoy it there.
I saw that one. I have seen that one, yeah. Have you seen the clip of him online? Of him coming out of a Paul Darrow and he comes out and does, "Call the police. My wife has been murdered." Appalling acting. So funny.
Excuse me, I think you mean Shakespearean. Oh, there's a slight smell of vinegar coming out of this crate, isn't it? Oh, film cans. Looks like it's old film cans from the BBC. Right, let's open up the film cans and we'll just chuck this film on the fire. Hopefully it'll,
Doc, look, it's Doctor Who. Oh, no, hang on, I've got this one on Blu-ray. Yeah, that's fine, we can just chuck the lot then, that's fine.
Hang on, we better keep one. Just for posterity.
Okay.
What's that when you've got that mark?
Underwater Menace, episode 2.
And here we are, complete set of the space pirates. We'll put those on one side.
Ah, oh, that's quite nice, actually.
Unfortunately, although the film is just acetate, it's just melting, isn't it?
Oh, that's still fumes, though. The fumes.
Ooh.
Grab these axes, boys. Let's just chop up the crate instead. Shall we go back up to the museum? A bit warmer now.
Yeah.
Doc, can I turn on our Christmas tree, please?
I don't know. Can we afford the electricity?
Oh, in which case, can I light the Advent crown?
Oh, no.
Hang on, let's just check. Yeah, the fire extinguisher's full. Right, listeners, well, you join us at our 9th Christmas podcast.
Wow.
9th?
So what's been happening in the news? We have lost a couple of people. We've recently lost the great Chris Boucher, but as it's our Christmas episode, I think we've decided we'll possibly do a podcast more devoted to him soon in the new year. So sadness all round. But we'll pay a bigger tribute to Chris later on. Even more shocking news, Mark, I understand that one of your favourite musicians, Hot Black Desiato, has died.
Yes.
Oh, no, sorry, Jet Black.
Oh, wow. Yes. One of mine and Gary Russell's favourite bands, of course. The drummer from The Stranglers.
Yeah.
So, yeah, very sad. So that's two of the Stranglers we've lost in the space of about a year, roughly, isn't it? So, just over.
Oh, who else?
Dave Greenfield.
Dave Greenfield.
Yeah. Oh, of course, the Keeble Clash.
So, yeah, just an extraordinary group of musicians, really. I mean, a really odd group of musicians, actually. Mm. And no one sounded like them before, no one sounded like them since, and no one plays music quite like them, so...
No. When I heard he'd passed away, I shared a fantastic clip from, like, the Dutch version of Top of the Pops, where they've all switched musical instruments.
Yeah, and he's on guitar.
He's on guitar, but he's playing it like... Instead of curving his hand around the fret, he's just playing it, like, flat against it on top.
Yeah.
And Hugh's on the keyboards playing it with the drumsticks, and it's brilliant, just mucking around with the fact that it was a mimed performance. Brilliant, brilliant. So funny.
Is this our Top of the Pops dubbed into Dutch, or is it the Netherlands' own Top of the Pops?
It's their version, I think. I can't remember what it's called now. Links in the show notes. I'll send you the video. Brilliant.
The Top of the Pops. Is it called that? So, apologies to any Dutch listeners.
Yeah, it was a shame. To be honest, it's one of those bands. They're one of the bands I've always wanted to go see. But I have a thing about original lineups. I don't really want to see bands who are like a watered down version or a pale imitation of what they used to be.
Mm. I saw them in. They played like a local outdoors gig on a big stage near where I live. In fact, it's very near where I live now. I've pretty much moved next door to the field where the stage. Usually goes.
Oh, wow.
But that year, I think they had Arthur Lee and Love, except obviously it wasn't the original Love. I think it was Arthur Lee with a lot of musicians. I think from another band. I can't remember what... Anyway, but so I've technically seen Arthur Lee with Love and saw the Stranglers and the Damned as well.
Oh, wow.
So that's quite a good lineup. I missed Fish from Marillion.
Was this Dutch thing where they... Were they doing No More Heroes, Hayden?
Yeah, No More Heroes, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, it's called Top Pop.
Top Pop?
Top Pop. That's it. I wonder where they got that idea from.
Yeah, very original.
It's funny you should mention The Damned, actually. Recently, I made a confession to Fess Hole, which is a Twitter thing. And I said that my when my son was really little, and I'd be like changing his nappy, I'd sing him a song called Nappy Time, which was the tune of Happy Talk by Captain Sensible.
Oh.
You know, the song that practically split them up when they were on the young ones that time.
No, it wasn't that split them up. I think Captain was just on the verge of just splitting from them anyway.
Oh, okay.
So I'm a bit of a nerd about it. But yeah. Yeah, that time on the young ones is the only time that they appeared with that lineup, I think. With Captain Sensible and the guy who basically replaced him.
Yeah.
Roman Jug, so.
That's come out on Blu-ray, chaps. That's on my Christmas list.
Oh, the young ones, yes. Mm. Oh, can I just say with regards to Blu-rays?
Yes.
If you've brought one of the new collection Blu-ray box sets, right, the only people who are really interested in them are the Doctor Who fans. Other Doctor Who fans know what the box looks like. I don't know what a hand looks like. I do not need a picture of a hand and that Blu-ray box every popping up my timeline every time one of the boxes gets delivered to some lucky Whovian.
If it was the day of their release, it might be understandable.
Well, it's all over the place with the last one, isn't it? Because some people got it 3 or 4 days early, some people got it a few days late. And meanwhile, the Australians all go, well, you're all lucky bastards because we're not going to get ours for ages. And I just think, fine, if you've got it, that's nice. It's really nice that you're happy and stuff, and that's great. But it's not... I remember when one of the earlier Blu-ray collections came out, and I think people were... There were so many pictures of it popping up all over my timeline. People going, oh, look what I've just got. Look what I've got. Look what I've got. Look what I've got. And it was... I mine had arrived as well, so it wasn't like I was even like getting peeved because other people had them and I didn't. I had a copy of that one, and I prepared a picture. It was a still from that scene where in I, Claudius, where Brian Blessed as Augustus is walking through the square and shouting at the top of his voice, is there anyone in Rome who hasn't slept with my daughter? Yeah. And I put a picture of that up with the words, is there anyone on Twitter who hasn't posted a picture of this Blu-ray? And unfortunately, I was like, right, I'm going to reply with that to the next person that who pops up on my timeline with with that picture going, look what I've got. And unfortunately, it was from somebody who worked on the Blu-ray. And I got a very terse reply them saying, well, actually, I'm very proud of the work that I did on that, so I don't see why you'd make fun of me for that.
Oh,
dear, oh dear. Well, at this time of hope and cheer, Mark, perhaps we can find a way to sum up the message which you've just given to our listeners. More immediately relevant to Doctor Who news is that since we last broadcast, Millie Gibson was revealed on the Children in Need night as Shuta Gatwa's new companion, Ruby Sunday. What were our various reactions?
I like her as an actress. I'd seen bits of her in Coronation Street because my wife watched Corrie quite a lot when she just came in. She stopped recently. But from what I saw, I knew who she was and I thought, yeah, she's pretty good. The name, though, every time I hear it, I just have Ruby Tuesday in my head by the Rolling Stones.
I know.
Goodbye, well, Ruby, I think that's quite deliberate, isn't it? Yeah.
I wasn't familiar with Millie Gibson before this.
No.
Anyway, which gives us yet another opportunity to guess whether the reactions issued by the BBC were typed by a press office intern or were genuinely spoken by the person in question.
Excellent.
So here we go. Speaking of her new role, Millie Gibson has said, whilst still being in total disbelief, I am beyond honoured. How long ago was it that we were pointing out how often they said beyond excited?
Yeah.
Did they listen to us?
Yeah.
Because you know they've stopped, they seem to have stopped describing the female companions as feisty ever since we made a big deal about it. Whilst still being in total disbelief, I am beyond honoured to be cast as the Doctor's companion. It is a gift of a role and a dream come true, and I will do everything to try and fill the boots the fellow companions had travelled in before me. And what better way to do that than being by the fabulous Shuta Gatwa's side? I just can't wait to get started.
Literally no one, whenever they've been asked, how are you feeling about this big thing coming up? Nobody in conversation says, I'm beyond excited.
Suddenly no one starts a sentence with whilst, do they?
No.
Whilst still being in total disbelief.
No. Especially a teenager.
Yeah. But if it was a realistic press statement, it would be, what? Sorry, I was just answering a text or something like that. Sorry, I was just updating my TikTok.
All right, old man Hayden.
Okay, boomer.
Shuta himself said, Millie just is the companion. Sorry, Shuta said, Millie just is the companion. I was wondering why I'd underlined is.
Did it just end there?
Millie just is the companion. She's full of talent, strength. She has a cheeky sparkle in her eye and is sharp as a razor. From the moment she walked into the room, she captured all of our attention with her... Oh, this sounds actually quite genuine. From the moment she walked into the room...
Yeah, this isn't how young people talk, though.
She captured all of our... Oh, dear. She captured all of our attention with her effervescence. And then... From the moment she walked into the room, she captured all of our attention with her effervescence and then solidified that attention with the sheer talk of her talent.
Oh, what?
T-O-R-Q-U-E.
Solidified talk?
This adventure is going to be so wild and so fun. I cannot wait to sail the universe with Millie. And then RTD himself said... Now, the thing with RTD is... Because he does tend to speak a bit like a showbiz puff piece anyway.
Yes.
He's the one that sounds more convincing.
What did you call him?
You know what I mean. RTD said, it's the great honour of my job to find the next generation of talent, and Millie shines like a star already. She's brilliant, dynamic, clever and a wonderful actor. As a Coronation Street fan, I've seen Millie survive chases, guns and sieges, but that's nothing compared to what lies ahead for Ruby Sunday. That sounds quite convincing, actually. Chases, guns and sieges. It sounds like Corrie's a bit tame these days, doesn't it? And I must admit, I had to go as far as the Daily Mail to find a feisty comment.
Oh, that's pretty far.
Commenting on Millie's casting.
In one direction, yeah.
The TARDIS is like an Aston Martin. It goes best with a passenger who is female, feisty, and slightly in love with the driver.
Did Richard Madeley write that piece, by the sounds? God. Wow.
Talking of what RTD has been telling us, I've been poring over the latest issues of DWM, where he's been saying quite a lot, hasn't he? He's confirmed that he's written 4 specials for 2023. Here we are. I know it's a long time to wait till November 2023. We're working hard to close those gaps. It takes a while to get the Empire in shape, but that's a serious plan. Annual Doctor Who, no gap years, lots of content, on and on and on. The 15th Doctor's, and I think he's also confirmed that Tennant is going to be officially the 14th, and Shooty will be the 15th.
Mm-hmm.
The 15th Doctor's first full season will be 8 episodes long, with a Christmas special making it 9 episodes every year. And when I say Christmas, that's my generic term for the festive end-of-year holiday or New Year. Okay, that's fewer episodes than the last full season, but give us time, we have plans, and that's a promise. So I think it sounds as though the first of those specials will be probably on the 60th anniversary, November 2023. And then there'll be 2 more, with the fourth one landing possibly between Christmas and New Year. So that's quite a squash, isn't it? Between November and New Year.
It's like a mini-series, isn't it?
Yeah. I guess as well that this first season of his is going to be a little bit quieter, just because, as he said, it's trying to rebuild the Empire a bit, isn't it? And also, we don't know where the Disney Plus deal is going to push it with regards to audience and amount of money that comes in for the series after this one that he's currently making. So, you know, he's obviously wants to build it up and build up, and I think that's a nice way of saying, you know, you're not getting a ton of Doctor Who, but, you know, we're going to try and make it regular and you'll get more as time goes on. I think that's, so I think that's all sounds very promising. And it's, it's really nice to read his letters from the showrunner again.
Yeah, they used to call them production notes, didn't they?
Yes, yeah.
He's also explained the thing about David Tennant, his clothes regenerating.
Oh, did he?
I didn't want David to appear in Jodie's costume. I think the notion of men dressing in women's clothes, in inverted commas, the notion of drag, is very delicate. I'm a huge fan of that culture, but it has to be done with immense thought and respect. With respect to Jodie and her doctor, I think it can look like mockery when a straight man wears her clothes. To put a great big 6-foot Scotsman in them looks like we're taking the mickey. Also, I guarantee you it's the only photograph some of the papers would print for the rest of time. If they can play with gender in a sarcastic or critical way, they will. We could have the Doctor dressed as a knight, or dressed as God, or William Hartnell, and the only photo they'd print would be of David in what they consider to be women's clothes. So that was never going to happen. Knowing that David was coming in, I was absolutely certain that the clothes would regenerate. Now that's... In fact, I can agree with all that. But I would still, quite typically, want to think, oh, I hope they just include a line to explain, rather than just assume that we will just assume that clothes regenerate from now on. Because surely they could... Couldn't they have had that final scene of her just wearing a T-shirt or something? Sorry, obviously not just a T-shirt.
Well, that'd have been a very revealing regeneration, but there you go. The thing is, though, about her costume is it isn't very... It never struck me as being very feminine. You know, she's wearing 3/4-length trousers. She's wearing, like, a thin jumper, a sort of long coat, which the Doctor's pretty much always worn throughout incarnations.
Yeah.
It's kind of it, really.
So Sacha Dhawan turns up in the episode wearing that very outfit, including the jewellery.
Yes!
And he looks fine. He doesn't... You don't think, oh, look at him dressed as a lady.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that.
Admittedly, that decision isn't made by Russell T. Davies, is it? That decision is made by Chris Chibnall. And I think you could also argue that the Master is, clearly, he's not the title character of the show.
Yes.
He's not David Tennant, for starters. Sasha does not have David Tennant's fame and...
And to be fair, if the tabloids printed that picture all the time, no one who wasn't a Doctor Who fan would probably presumably know who he was.
Yeah.
Although, This idea of putting a big 6 foot Scotsman in a skirt is not that particularly unusual, is it?
No, sure, yeah, I've seen that before.
It rings a bell, but I just can't put my finger on it.
In fact, in Zygons, doesn't Sarah refer to kilt wearing as doing a doctor? The most bizarre thing I thought he said was, did you read the stuff about how he supposedly came up with the idea of, you know, taking back the reins? Because he's always said, hasn't he, oh, I wouldn't want to come back to Doctor Who, RTD. After the tweet-alongs during the lockdown, in December 2020, Catherine Tate texted me, this is RTD, in DWM, to say how much she'd enjoyed it. I texted back, let's get David to do some more Doctor and Donna. I don't think I really meant it, though. Honestly, no secret planet work. But then Catherine replied, let's do it. But I thought that was that. There was no space, surely. Jodie was being magnificent on screen. My old mate Chris Chibnall was in fine form. Did we miss that series? But then Catherine texted me in December and says, David has said he'd do it again in a heartbeat. Who do we need to speak to? Let's get the old band back together. So I double-checked with David and he said yes. Now this is the bit, this sounds like very much like RTD getting his excuses in first in case it ever transpires that it leaks. That, should we say things were being done behind Chris Chibnall's back? And then, well, I simply had to be professional. As a former producer of Doctor Who, I had a job to do. If David and Catherine had expressed a wish to return, it was literally my job to let the BBC know.
Ooh.
I'm not sure that's true, is it? It wasn't my choice anymore. It was my duty. And I knew the 60th was coming up, 3 years ahead. I kind of knew vaguely that Chris was only doing 3 years as showrunner. Chris and I are old mates. We're usually texting each other during Ant and Dec's Saturday Night Takeaway because we love it so...
Jesus.
We love it so much, Jesus. Precisely because of that, I'd rarely ask Chris about Doctor Who, if ever. We're usually texting each other during Ant and Dec's Saturday Night Takeaway because we love it so much. Precisely because of that, I'd rarely ask Chris about Doctor Who, if ever. What, because the only thing RTD usually texts him about is stuff that he loves? He gets enough work texts, and friendship is much more important. So I just thought, well, I'll throw it out there. And since Chris is doing the busiest job in TV, I won't add to his workload.
Wow.
I'll email Piers Wenger, the director of drama. So he emailed Piers Wenger saying, simply reporting in to ask, I've no idea about your future plans, but might this fit in somewhere? A special? The anniversary? A one-off maybe? What do you think? Now, am I being cynical or thinking, is that sort of creative writing? Because it sounds as if it was done without asking Chris Chibnall for his opinion, doesn't it?
I think it's undoubtedly creative writing. No one enjoys Ant and Dec's Saturday Night Takeaway. I am a little worried. I mean, I didn't mind the whole Tennant thing coming back.
No.
But the more I think about it, the more it concerns me a little bit. But it also makes me think, Tennant really will say yes to everything, won't he?
Yeah.
So he plays the version of the Doctor that couldn't let go of being that Doctor.
Yeah.
So he will have regenerated into that Doctor 3 times. And even if you say, this is now the 14th Doctor.
Yeah.
He's still in a variation of the same suit. He's still got the same hair. He's still got the same sideburns. The same English Cockney kind of slightly Essexly, slightly Cockney accent. It's the 10th Doctor, isn't it?
Mm.
You know, I don't know. It's like, what is this arc going to be about? Is it to develop that Doctor is the most selfish and vain Doctor of the lot? Because I could have told you that back in 2006.
Yeah. There we go. But, here we go.
I don't know. I am intrigued by it. No, I want to see what he wants to do, what he's going to do with it, obviously. But yes, it does sound as though it's kind of like the inverted way in which we went about recruiting Mark for Diddly Dum. We kind of went behind his back to recruit him.
I didn't even notice it was happening. I was groomed.
You were groomed, yes, you were.
So I imagine that it's going to be, at the most, say 4.5 or 4, unless she regenerates into Shooty right at the very end, and then you get the sting and the closing credits. She'll see.
Isn't that what's been confirmed?
Is it right?
Tater in three, and then Shooty's in the last one, I think is what's...
It'll be interesting to see how much of, I don't know if we already mentioned this, how much of Bernard they managed to film before we lost him, won't it?
Oh, my son, when he's at home, at lunchtimes on CBeebies, they play Bernard Cribbins' programme Old Jack's Boat.
Yes.
Yeah. And he really likes it. It's like a story before nap time for him while he's eating lunch. Loves him. Yeah. Free Radjiman turns up in it as a mermaid as well. And the guy who was going to get married to Donna in The Runaway Bride is in it too. But yeah, they're quite lovely. That's the reason why I was wearing my antlers when we started tonight. In tribute to Sir Bernard of Cribbins.
Anyone seen this leaked footage of the new TARDIS interior?
No, I know you've shared a video of it, but I didn't look at it.
I mean, to be honest, I think you can probably guarantee it will be in the trailer when they first release it, won't it?
Yeah, I'll wait until the trailer.
I mean, there's not much in there.
I was just going to say, it feels a bit funny that, you know, RTD's back and he's unveiling all this information, and then that leak seems a little bit of information too far. I wonder if they're going to shut down a bit now and say, oh, maybe we've said too much. Maybe we've encouraged too much of a culture on the current set or whatever to give away spoilers. Whereas Chris Chibnall was obviously, he was like trying to get into Fort Knox, trying to get spoilers out of his era.
It certainly looked like someone just briefly switching their phone camera on, for just behind a set to snatch of it.
Yeah.
Bizarrely, there's in the console room, there's a Wurlitzer jukebox in there, which seems strange, doesn't it? Have you heard the news about Wurlitzer, by the way? That they've been taken over by Rank Xerox.
All right.
The new company's going to make reproductive organs.
Well,
I was just waiting with dread as soon as you started that thing. I could tell by the tone. I was bracing myself.
We put out a quiz question earlier today. I don't know if anyone will have guessed it, the answer to it, before this podcast goes out. But Penny Mordaunt, MP, gives you the idea that sort of the level that UK politics has stooped to. A cabinet minister most famous for having stood up in the House of Commons to fulfil a bet to say the word cock as many times as she could in a speech.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus. Anyway, during the very brief premiership of Liz Truss, is that what she was called? I can't remember.
I think we should maybe call it the blip.
Was it Liz Truss the war prime minister?
She's the war bungle in more ways than one.
I think that's about four or five we've tried to forget, isn't there, recently?
Well, yeah.
Because she supported her during her election campaign. Clearly had to reward her, but she clearly didn't think that she was worth doing any job in the cabinet of any importance. So she gives her one of these sort of minister without portfolio titles, which they can dish out, probably not realising that when the Queen died, she'd be stuck front and centre at the new King's Accession Council doing all this business. And it suddenly occurred to me what cabinet post they'd given her. You know when Bob Holmes reimagined Gallifrey in The Deadly Assassin? He did all this sort of academic, ecclesiastical, parliamentary sort of stuff and robes for the Time Lords. They'd made a Lord President of the Council.
Yeah.
So in other words, I can't give you a proper job to do it. I'll make you President of Gallifrey.
So someone has actually written into our Twitter post and given the correct answer. It's none other than David Kitchen.
Hey!
The smart ass.
David Kitchen said, Miss Mordaunt's title of Lord President of the Council is also a title on Gallifrey.
He knows his politics.
Strange, isn't it? Liz Truss. I remember at various times in her political career, she was not only a Remainer, but a virulent anti-monarchist. So it's quite amusing, isn't it, to think that the only thing she'll ever be remembered for is standing awkwardly in the background during the late Queen's funeral obsequies.
Yeah.
And TV commentators having no idea who she was and guessing, oh, perhaps she's foreign royalty. I found it hilarious. Talking of news, some of us have had rather personal news, haven't we? Hayden, You were telling us earlier in the year that you discovered that you were related in your family tree to an actress in, was it in the Romans?
Yeah. Yeah, it was, yeah.
Dorothy Rose Gribble.
Mm-hmm.
You've been doing slightly more investigation, haven't you?
Yeah.
Tell us more.
After watching the Romans on the season 2 Blu-ray, I googled her again to see if there was anything else that she'd been in that was on YouTube or whatever. And there wasn't. There was a record where she recited poetry and it was released on vinyl. But then I went to a website for information on her drama society that she set up down in Hampshire. It said in like the biography of her, it said that she was a descendant of John Milton.
Oh, did he write Paradise Towers?
He wrote the other two titles in the Paradise trilogy.
Oh, it rings a bell.
He wrote Paradise Lost, and then he wrote Paradise, what was the third one? Paradise 3. There you go, with a vengeance. No, he was a very, very famous writer back in the early 1600s. And I've got to be honest with you, I've never read any of his works, but I'd started doing some digging and then I actually got out our family tree again. And his name is on the family tree. I mean, I'm not a direct descendant, but he's a part of the slightly more distant family.
Okay.
I think Dorothy was his granddaughter 5 times removed or something. No, not 5 times removed. Great, 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 great granddaughter, basically, or something like that. It was quite far down. Maybe even more, actually. But it was.
When Hayden walked into the museum and just announced to Mark and me that he was partly descended from a great English poet, I thought, he doesn't look anything like Pam Ayres, does he, Mark?
Accent's all wrong.
If I were you, I wouldn't try Paradise Lost. It's about 10,000 lines.
It's really big, isn't it? Yeah.
So that's the news. A bit more news, we are now... Faith and Sisters, just in case Twitter does collapse under Elon Musk's tender stewardship, we're now on Mastodon. Our link there being at diddlydum at mastodon.social if anyone wants to find us. And as ever, faithless listeners, you can find links to photos, videos, and more information on almost everything that we discuss on the Diddly Dum podcast at our podcast blog, which you can find at diddlydumpodcast.wordpress.com. It's Christmas.
You've got to say that like Noddy Holder, haven't you? Surely.
Yeah.
Thanks to the striking postman, we've had to not do a Secret Santa this year, because we couldn't guarantee that we'd receive things by the time we came to record the podcast.
Last month, though, I did actually receive a Doctor Who-related parcel. One of our listeners had heard me complaining repeatedly about the B&M stores and their supplying of, or not being able to supply me with various figures and stuff. And one of our listeners, Johnny Dabb, went in and picked me up the Planet of the Daleks.
Whoa.
Set 2, which is History of the Daleks number 9, collector figure set, which features the Supreme Dalek and the Invisible Dalek, I can't remember what they're called in the series now, which is fantastic. And there is actually an Invisible Dalek in there. It's empty plastic space. Thank you, Johnny Dabb, for picking that up for me. Much appreciated. And it's a really nice set. I know there are people who are sort of Dalek experts who will be able to spot things that are wrong with the Supreme Dalek, but I think it's great. I love it. Although I didn't get the Death of the Daleks set, but which I also am quite fond of, because I love the shiny silver Death of the Daleks.
Which means that two things which I picked up at Capital 6 for you both for Christmas, and which only after I bought them I realised, oh, well, Secret Santas, we only give one present to each, so that'll take at least 2 years to get rid of these two. It means that we'll have to continue the podcast till at least Christmas 2024. If I can get rid of these. So I might post them off in November next year, in case there's another postal strike. It's something I've learned since I got into Doctor Who podcasting. You just cannot trust postmen, can you? Right, have we any other news at all? Can we go into our normal Christmas shebang?
Let's delve deeply into the shebang, Doc.
Yeah, let's get the poppers out. The party poppers, I mean.
Shebang away.
Right. So, who wants to start with the first game?
Oh, me, please, Doc.
What's the name of the very first game?
Well, the name of the game... Oh, let's go with working title first, shall we?
Okie dokie.
So, working title is a game in which my two colleagues here have to guess the alternate title, which was originally muted at some point in production of a Doctor Who story, and then they have to give the story title that eventually went out for it. So I have 10 questions, and I've managed, through the interwebs, to find some which are from the new series.
Oh.
So some new series ones here. So, fingers on buzzers. First one here is... Court of the Cyber King. Oh, okay, that is Doc.
The next Doctor?
Is the next Doctor. Yep, so that's 1 point for Doc.
Oh, yes.
Okay, question number two. A Doctor in the Horse.
That's Mythmakers.
It is indeed. Well done, Mark. Right, okay, question number three. Invasion of the Plague Men. That's Mark.
Not Full Circle, is it?
It isn't, I'm afraid. Nope.
No, I don't see why it would be.
So Urines?
No, I'm afraid not. No, it was actually The Visitation.
Oh, of course. The Plague Men.
Oddly enough, yeah.
Are you keeping score?
Yes, I am. It's one apiece at the minute. Question number four. Nemesis. Someone's garrotted Mark. Mark?
No, it's not that.
Right. Okay. Do I pass this over or do you want to...
Yeah, sorry, ignore that.
Nemesis.
I've no idea.
Mark, you're going to kick yourself.
It's not bloody the Daleks, is it?
Might not be Silver Nemesis.
It wasn't Silver Nemesis.
It's Silver Nemesis.
What?
Oh, no!
Unlucky. That's 2-1 to Doc.
Is it?
Yep.
Hang on, I got...
2-1 to...
Well, because you both got...
It's 1-1, isn't it?
No, it's 2-1. So Mark got... Where has it gone? Mark got the Mythmakers. And Doc has got the next Doctor.
And I got...
And Silver Nemesis. And you both got the Visitation wrong.
I didn't get Silver Nemesis. I said I'd give up.
Oh, right. Oh, well, fine then. All right, 1-1. Thank you very much for your honesty, Doc. Okay, question number 5. It's still 1-1. We're halfway through. The Companion Who Couldn't.
So that's got to be a new series. Is it an Amy Pond one?
No, it isn't.
It doesn't matter then.
You give up. It was, in fact, The Long Game.
What? Oh, right, Ocus. Yeah, Ocus, what's his name? Adam.
Potentially a slightly easier one, this one. The Androgum Inheritance. Oh, that was Doc, I'm afraid, because he got in.
Two Doctors.
Two Doctors, yeah, you're right. It's 2-1. 2-1 to Doc. Okay. Next up, we have The Horror of the Swamp. Okay, that's Mark.
Full Circle.
Nope.
No!
Oh, God! I can't honk back in, can I?
Unfortunately not, no.
The Swamp. Power of Krull.
Yeah, it was. It was 3-1 to Doc. I've got 2 left, and then if you draw after this, there's a bonus question. Okay, so it's 3-1 to Doc.
Okay.
Okay, so question number 9. Cubed. Yep, that's Mark.
Power of 3.
Yes, well done. Right, so here's a chance to equalise. with the final penalty kick here, Mark. Question number 10. Siren. Okay, come on, Mark.
Curse the Black Spot.
Oh my God, yes, it is. 3-3. Right, so the bonus question, okay. So fingers on buzzers. Dining with monsters. Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Boomtown.
Boom. Mark, what a comeback. 4-3. Well done.
Well, I'm going to take a little break this year. I'm going to hand you over to an old friend of mine who's been thawing out gradually since we couldn't afford to keep the time dams running. I'll leave you in the capable hands of my friend Brucey, anyway.
Oh, Brucey, I've not seen him since the great fizz of 2019.
All right, my loves.
Oh, Uncle Brucey.
It's nice to see you.
Nice.
Today we're going to play your scores, right?
Oh, no.
Because Chibnall era is finally over, so let's play a game of higher or lower. Which of his stories did we score a hit? And which ones did we think were shoddily written?
It's a handy stammer you've developed there, Brucey. A handy stammer.
So, what are we going to do this week, my loves? I've got 13 Jodie episode titles written on cards. Now then, I'm going to line the cards up on here, and you have to pick one. If you get 6 in a row, then you get Brucey's bonus.
Right.
Get yourself a little Brucey bonus. Is that lovely? Oh, yes, it's lovely, lovely little Brucey bonus. Our first contestant is Doc Hume. Where are you from, Doc?
I'm originally from Manchester, Brucey.
Oh, I see. And Hayden, I believe. And where are you from?
I'm from the Suffolk-Essex border.
Oh, and how did you two meet? What a lovely couple, aren't they a lovely couple?
Well, Doc was working as a waitress in a cocktail bar when I met him.
Oh.
And I picked him up and shook him up and turned him around and turned him into a podcaster.
Well, that sounds lovely. Give him a big round of applause, ladies and gentlemen. We're the only ones here.
Can you speak up, please, for the people in the back? Thank you.
Rightio, then. To decide who gets first, we're going to play a quick thing of closest to the pin. So, out of a possible 930 points that we could have given Chris Chibnall's
what?
Stories, if we'd marked them all 10 out of 10, which surprisingly we didn't. So, out of 930, how many points do you think that we three, that you three as a podcast team...
We three. Brucey, hang on a minute. Hang on. Let me take this mask off.
How many points do you think out of 930 you gave Chris Chibnall's era?
It was the old caretaker all the time.
Doc, would you like to go first?
I'm going to say...
If this is okay, we haven't got all day.
650.
Oof. Okay, Hayden, what would your choice be?
I'm going to go much lower. I'm going to go 248.
Now, Hayden, don't forget, you're not just counting my votes.
No, even with those votes, that's how low I think it will be. But yeah, no, that's 248.
Docky's closest, I'm afraid. Although he's a little high. It was 597.5.
Wow.
I'll go first, please.
Do you want to go first and get over with, Doc? Terence, my love, could you mind coming up here and turning the card for us?
Right, here we go.
Oh, it's lovely. The first card is who's written this? Honestly, Chris Chibnall, who's he? Ferengi conundrum. That's your starting card. So your next card is... Yeah, can you turn over the next card, Terence, my love? Hey, oh, and the next card is... Power of the Doctor. Do you think Power of the Doctor rated higher or lower than the conundrum?
I think higher, Brucey.
Oh, yes, you're right. Oh, well done. Yes, indeed. Thrangy conundrum finished at 29 in our poll of 31. Power of the Doctor finished. Would you like to have a little guess?
Is it top five?
Oh, no. No, it's 10.
Wow.
Tales of My Love, can you turn over the next card for us? And it is The Woman Who Fell to Earth. Now, did we rate The Woman Who Fell to Earth higher or lower than Power of the Doctor?
Lower.
Oh, you're right. Power of the Doctor finished 10. Woman Who Fell to Earth, 11th.
No. It's interesting. I was conflicted with that because I remember I gave that one a very high score. So I know that that one would have been bumped up.
Mm.
So that's interesting. Ah.
Terence, what's next? Next up is the Battle of... Who did write this? It is very poor. Battle. Is did the episode called Battle of Ravnica finish higher or lower in the table than the last one I mentioned?
I think it was lower.
Yeah, absolutely right. The Battle of
Ravnica Ravkolos.
It finished equal 15th.
Oh,
you what? It finished where?
Equal 15th with table.
But that's crap, that one. How is that mid-table in the...
Mind you, there is a lot of crap, so mid-table downwards, kind
that's
of...
That's true, actually. Yeah, that is true.
No, no offence.
There are 14 stories at joint 28th.
Well, I'll carry on, shall I, if you've finished?
Sorry, Bruce.
OK, Terence, on to the... Just to the next card over. Thank you. Thank you, darling. Thank you. And the next card is... Fugitive of the Jadoon. Do you think Fugitive of Jadoon fish higher or lower than...
It's got to be higher.
Yeah, it is indeed. Fugitive of Jadoon was number one.
Oh.
It was number one.
Oh, so I wonder what the next one will be.
This card to get to the end, and then Hayden, you have to try and get to the end as well in one go.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
So, your last card... Terence, my love, stop. Take your hands out of your pockets, Terence. Turn the card. Thank you, Terence. Yeah. Oh, the next card is Rosa.
Oh.
Do you think Rosa is higher or lower than Fugitive of the Jadoon?
I think it's lower, but I imagine it's only second.
You're absolutely right. It is only second.
Wow. Oh, well done.
So, well done. So, you managed a clean sweep all the way through. As you know, Hayden, so if you'd like to step up to the podium.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my love, right. Are you ready? Next row down, Terence. That's right. That's right. We're on the red cards now. So, turn it over. We've got, first of all, we've got everyone's favourite. It's Orphan 55. And that's the opening card. And the next card is Praxeus.
Oh, my God.
Did Praxeus finish higher or lower than Orphan 55 in the Diddly Dum ratings poll?
I would be surprised if Orphan 55 is the lowest on the list. I think it finished higher, Brucey.
Yeah, well, you are right, Praxeus did finish higher. Praxeus, despite being absolutely loaded of rubbish, managed to finish higher than Orphan 55, which I think is a disgrace. Orphan 55 was equal 25th.
Whoa.
And Praxeus finished 19th.
A lot of old crud in that mid-table. Yeah, you were right, Doc.
Right, the next card is Spyfall Part 1.
Ooh.
Did Spyfall finish higher or lower than... Higher or lower? Starts to sound like...
What's his name from The Young Ones?
You are sounding like Vivian. Yeah, you are sounding like Vivian. Casting my mind back, I think Spyfall, I think we rated it quite highly because it was quite action-packed compared to what we'd seen in Season 11. So I'm going to go higher. I think Spyfall's higher. Brucey?
Yes, you're quite right. Spyfall.
Yes.
Managed to finish. Well, I won't give you that spot, yes, but yeah, just in case, because it's towards one end.
Ooh, okay then.
Turn the card over. That's right, that's it, lovely. What have we got there? Well, we've got Timeless Children. Did Timeless Children finish higher or lower than Spyfall Part 1?
I mean, lower? Surely?
Yes, continue that. I'll tell you that, by the way, Spyfall Part 1 finished 7th.
Ooh. Considering it's a James Bond parody, 7th is a very apt place for it to have it.
That last one was Timeless Children, and next up is Arachnids in the UK. Did Arachnids in the UK finish higher or lower than Timeless Children?
Lower, because it was a smelly old pile of poo.
Oh, no, and you're wrong. It's not as smelly as the Timeless Children. In fact, shockingly, Arachnids in the UK came in at equal 21st.
Ooh.
6 places higher than Timeless Children. Would you like to know what the top 5 were of interest?
Go on, yes, please. Yeah.
Hang on. 5, which... What? You've won. The game's over. Can I go now? Am I getting paid? Yeah, all right, cheers, Brucey. Thank you very much. Yeah, no.
Thanks, Brucey.
It's quite interesting, actually, looking at it, because considering a lot of these scores are out of 30, mid-table, like, we've got the Battle of Rav score, whatever, okay... That got 20 points out of 30, so which...
What?
I think we were quite generous in some of our scoring early on with some of the Jodie.
Very generous.
But you can see our patience running out. I look down the list, right? You can see our patience running out, like, during the flux, where we started off, like, 20 out of 30, 22.5 out of 30, 20 out of 30. A peak of 26.5 for... Village of the Angels,
yeah,
out of 30, but then suddenly 12 for episode 5 of The Flux, 6 out of 30 for episode 6 of The Flux.
Oh my god.
7 out of 30 for Legend of the Sea Devils. The top 5 were number 5, Witchfinders, number 4, Nikolai Tesla's Night of Terrors.
Wow.
Equal 2nd, Village of the Angels, Flux Part 4, and Rosa. And the winner, Fugitive of the Judoon.
Wow.
Bottom 5 were 27th, Timeless Children, 28th, Flux Episode 5, whatever that was, The Nightmare Continues. 29, Saranga Conundrum, 30, Legend of the Sea Devils, and our least favourite Chris Chibnall era story was the end of the Flux Part 6.
Oh, the Vanquishers.
Thank God it's almost over.
Hey, it's a good job we didn't get one that scored equal points, didn't we? Because what happens then, Bruce?
Oh, you don't get anything for a pair of rubbish episodes.
Okay then, we have got this time round another festive edition of Who Said What. So you get 2 points.
Are these all new series Christmas episodes?
Well, okay, so there is one Christmas episode from the classic series in there as well. You get 1 point for the correct character and 1 point for the correct story. Okay, so first one is, listen, Cyril, tell him that I've borrowed Mr. Goldsmith's car. That I found a spaceman in a field, possibly an angel, and he's injured and I can't get his helmet off. Oh, that's Doc.
That's The Widow and the Wardrobe.
Yeah.
And it's the name of the blonde mother of the children. I can't remember what she was called.
Right. Well, you get one...
The Doctor, the Widow and the Wardrobe, sorry.
So you get one for the Doctor, Widow and the Wardrobe. Mark, do you know which character it was?
Look, I'm not going to know what the name is, am I?
She called Maisie or something.
It was actually Madge. So only 1 point on that occasion, I'm afraid.
Dear. Oh, that's harsh.
Okay.
Decent Christmas will give me half of that, I think.
Next question. Allow? You have no choice. See, that's all blood control is. Cheap bit of voodoo. Scares the pants off you, but that's as far as it goes. Okay, that's Mark.
Is that the 10th Doctor in The Christmas Invasion?
It was indeed, although I will let you say 10th Doctor, but you also could have said the Metacrisis Doctor and the 14th Doctor.
Oh, I could have said that f***er that you hate. And you'd have given me bonus points, wouldn't you?
Mark's won the game. Well done, Mark.
No, hey, look, I like David Tennant, so I'm not like Hayden. So if you want to send in angry letters, send them to Hayden.
The thing is, I like David Tennant like I like tomato ketchup. Small doses. Next one. I'm an archaeologist from the future. I dug you up. See you in 400 years.
Was it River Song?
Ooh, it was, Doc.
Well, I thought it was probably her, but I can remember her saying it.
Was it, I don't know.
Okay. Mark?
Is it Husbands and River Song?
It is indeed. So that's a point each. So at the moment, after three questions, it's 3-2 to Mark at the moment. Okay, fingers on buzzers for question number four, chaps. Incidentally, a happy Christmas to all of you at home.
First Doctor, Feast of Stephen. Oh, no, it wasn't. First Doctor, Dalek Master Plan.
Yeah, but it was me. I honked in first.
Mark honked first, I'm afraid, Doc. Yes, he did.
No, he didn't.
Oh, no. And to be fair, you both knew it. Shall I just both give you the points?
Just give us both a point.
Yeah, both a point. Okay, so go for it. Okay.
Okay.
So you're both happy about it. Okay, next one. I think winter is coming. Such a winter as this world has never known. The last winter of humankind. Oh, it's Mark again. He's on fire tonight.
Is it? Is this this goose? Just wait, shut up. Keeps honking, and then I have to try and pretend I know the answer. I've never watched Doctor Who. Is it the snowmen?
Yes, it is.
Is it the great intelligence character, the like the bloke? Whatever his name is. Is he not the great intelligence?
See, that's the thing. He's possessed by the great intelligence, but he goes by another name until the big reveal, doesn't he?
Mr. Slipper.
Oh.
No, what?
You're close.
It's not his name, is it?
No, it's not.
So that was just a random thing that I came up with, so I can't believe it's even remotely close.
No, but it was the last name. Slipper.
Something Sleep?
No.
Wayne Sleep?
Wayne Sleep. I'm afraid the character's going to have to go over to Doc.
No, I don't know.
Okay, it's Dr. Simeon.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, no. Yeah, okay.
Okay. 5-3 to Mark. Next one. Rather ironic, but this is very much in the spirit of Christmas. It's a festival of violence. They say that human beings only survive depending on whether they've been good or bad. It's barbaric. Right, that's Doc.
Was it Voyage of the Damned to Copper?
Oh, it was. Ooh, 5-5 all.
God, what a comeback. Buried that one.
He did. That was a Panenka, that one. Right, okay. Next one. No stupid Martian is going to stop me from getting married. To hell with you. Oh, that was Mark.
It's Runaway Bride.
Yep, and do you know which character that is?
Would it be Donna Noble?
It would indeed. Well done, Mark. 7-5.
Boo.
A boo. Quiet over there. Next question. We've had so many Christmas Eves, Kazran. I think it's time for Christmas Day. Go on, Doc.
A Christmas Carol.
Right.
And it's... Oh, what's she called? It was Catherine Jenkins, wasn't it? Playing...
Yes.
Abigail.
Oh, well done, Doc. Well done.
7-7.
Okay. The Imp of the Pandorica. The Shadow of the Valyard, The Beast of Trenzalore, The Butcher of Skull Moon, The Last Tree of Garsonon, The Destroyer of Skaro. He is the Doctor of War. And that is Mark. Marco.
Is it Time of the Doctor and is it Tashalem?
Do you know what? No. No, it isn't.
Oh.
That's a very good guess, but no, it's not, I'm afraid, mate.
No points.
No points, I'm afraid. Because no, you got it all wrong.
Stupid goose.
I haven't the first idea.
It is the Glass Woman in Twice Upon a Time. It's the line of dialogue just before the Doctor says, to be fair, they left out all the jokes. But I thought if I gave you that one, it would be too obvious.
7-7 still.
So here we go. So this is the decider. Now isn't that funny? Isn't that just the best thing of all? The Master of Disguise stuck looking like the old Prime Minister. I can't hide anywhere. He can see me. He can smell me. Can't let him smell me. Doctor, doctor, shocked her, stopped her, got to stop the stink. The stink, the filthy, filthy stink.
Was it the Master?
Oh, it was.
In The Doctor Falls?
No, I'm afraid not. Nope, so Mark, you've got to get the correct story now to draw this level to go into the bonus question.
Is it The End of Time?
It is.
Ooh. Do I have to get the right part?
You don't have to get the right word, is it?
Of course you do.
Part one.
Yeah, it is part one, but I would have accepted The End of Time this time, so that's... Okay, so, bonus question, fingers on buzzers, because we have a tie of 9-all. Flipping heck.
Oh.
Wow.
Ooh.
Okay, here we go. A question only I could answer. A truth field to make sure I'm not lying. If I give my name, they'll know they've found the right place and that it's safe to come through. Oh, I think the goose is done, Mark.
I think that's the Doctor, and I think it's Time of the Doctor.
Wow.
Excuse me, which Doctor?
It's the 11th Doctor.
The final scores are... Mark wins with 10, and Doc wins with 8.
Okay then, chaps, in that case, I think it's time for that pillar of the Dudley Dunn podcast, which has been here since our very first Christmas episode. It's the Dudley Dunn Gold Run. So shall we take ourselves off to the specially built Gold Run studio within the Hooseum?
Yes, let's.
Yeah, so this is where our budget went this year, Doc.
We've got to open up the blast doors. So remember, boys, make the sign of the jive. The sign of the jive. As long-time listeners to the show, even recent listeners to the show will know, this is the Gold Run inspired by Blockbusters, in which we look back at the past year on the Diddly Dum podcast. We used to have it just as the game board up on a screen, but since we invested in a purpose-built studio for it, we now have a glittering game board laid out on the floor, and Mark and Hayden will move from tile to tile, trying to get across the floor. Right, listeners, if you want to go to any of our platforms on social media, either our Facebook page, Diddly Dum, our Twitter account at diddly_dum, our podcast at diddlydumpodcast.wordpress.com, you will find a copy of the game board, and you can follow along with us. And so, gentlemen, if you're ready, I'm going to ask you to put yourselves on the hotspot, please.
Oh, it's lovely. Oh, this must be costing a fortune to keep this spot this hot.
And so, as ever, it's goal to gold in 60 minutes or less, and the clock will start when you choose the first tile.
Right, what are we going to go for, Mark?
Ooh, I don't know. I'm always drawn by the long ones, which is not always a good thing. Because I quite like the look of H-W-S-A-L-D.
I do know, I was going to say that one as well, actually.
So let's go for that one then. H-W-S-A-L-D, please, Doc.
H-W-S-A-L-D. Most people looked at him with terror and with fear. But to Moscow chicks...
He was such a lovely dear.
Well done.
Well done. Next tile, please.
Should we do the one below it?
G-Y-T-O-Y-N, please, Doc.
How policemen would read criminals their rights if Mark had his way?
Get your trousers on, you're nicked.
Yes.
Which are the first words that the character of Jack Regan ever says on screen from the Sweeney.
Next tile, please.
Do you know, I'm in a cheeky mood. I fancy doing the long ones. I don't know about you, Mark.
Well, I don't know, because sometimes I... Okay, let's have another long one.
Go on, then. All right, let's do WTWWW, please, Doc.
WTWWW. The principal cause of traffic accidents in Sydney.
Oh, this is something Mark did, wasn't it, that made David nearly rear off the...
No, you're right, yes.
Yeah. I can't remember what you said, though.
What was it? What was it to do with?
You also have to remember that the further away from the centre, right across the screen you go, the more likely it is that these questions have been hanging around for about 4 years, right, unchosen.
Yeah, but this is quite a recent one, isn't it? This is only a couple of months ago.
Oh, no, no, no.
Isn't it?
We had a guest on the show.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I can't remember, yeah.
It's Walk to Work with Whittaker.
Oh, right, yes. Yes, oh, of course, it's from when...
Brandy Bongo's walking through the centre of Sydney with his selfie stick on. As cars scream to a halt around him. Choose another one, please.
Let's, after Hayden being so bold and going for that long one, I think I would just go for a simpler one. Can we just go for CWT, please?
CWT. Title of proposed anthology of anecdotes about meeting the great man.
Oh, Cider with Terence.
Well done. Choose another title, please.
Can we go for COSD, please? F-C-O-S-D.
F-C-O-S-D. Never mind Count Scaglione's first folio of Hamlet. Mark has got...
First copy of Ses Des.
Yes.
I brought the... It's obviously from the first print run, but it was the first one sold.
Ah.
Part one of Deskin's autobiography. I don't know what's happened to part two. Perhaps that's been prepared for the next capital.
Oh.
So as Mark and Hayden skip balletically to the next tile on the floor, choose another tile, please, boys.
Oh. I'm going to go for TPUTTW, please, Doc.
Oh, my God.
Frontios begins with which lavatorial scene?
Oh, Turlo pissing up the TARDIS wall.
Yes. This is the scene in Frontios where Turlo is supposed to be putting his ear to the wall of the TARDIS to hear what's going on. It looks as if he's pulling his zip down and relieving himself.
Yeah, did somebody match it up with the music of someone pissing or something? Yeah, so it looks like
that was us.
As well, I don't think. Oh, was it? Oh.
Can we do GGG, please?
The name of Hayden's all-doctor football team.
Oh, my God. It was the Gribble Globetrotters. No, hang on. Gribble... No. No, it wasn't. That was my fantasy football team. That was my football team. That was my fantasy team. Sorry. It was the Gallifrey Galaxy Globetrotters?
Yes.
Yeah.
BLAPC, please, Doc.
BLAPC. Two people in Matt Charlton's family tree.
Oh, Barry Letts?
Yeah.
And
Peter Capaldi?
Yeah. Is it Peter?
Well, you got everything except the last word.
Ooh. Peter?
Craze?
No. It's Barry Letts and Peter Cushing.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
He's related to Peter Cushing.
I didn't know that.
I don't quite remember him saying that either, but there we are.
It's in the gold run. It's a fact now.
That's my John Milton link to shame, that does. God.
That's blocked you there. Choose another tile.
Yeah, well, let's do T-I-A-D-T-B-M.
T-I-A-D-T-B-M. What shock did Sophie present Hayden with in July 2021?
I don't know. I can't think.
T-I-A-D-T-B-M. What shock did Sophie present Hayden with in July 2021? Are you giving up?
Must have been so shocking I've forgotten. Yeah, I'm intrigued. Go on, I'm giving up because I'm intrigued.
Tea in a daddy-to-be mug.
Oh.
She came in during the podcast.
No, that would be July 2020. No, that would be even earlier.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it? Because we were pregnant with William in July 2020.
Well, in that case, you would have had...
But we hadn't announced it yet. So maybe it was July.
It would have been a second child, wouldn't it? So.
Oh, yes, no, it was. Yeah, of course. Yes, it was. Yes, yeah, you're right. Yeah, it was 2021. Sorry, yeah.
So, oh, you're guessing quite a few wrong here.
CLFTN.
CLFTN. For Hayden, Legend of the Sea Devils was equivalent to...
Is it from?
No.
Legend of the Sea Devils was like... We're not having a good round here, are we?
We're not, are we?
No.
Give me up. Champions League Final 2019.
We're going to have to go BH, aren't we?
Yeah, you're almost blocking yourself off. Donald G's Roger the Rabbit co-star in 1970s adult literacy programme.
Bob Hoskins.
Well done.
Hey.
Yeah, we're back in it, Mark.
Let's have PAHJD, please, Doc.
PAHJD, the most satisfying part of War of the Worlds at the O2.
Jason Donovan's last one.
Oh, is it punching a hologram?
Yeah.
Punching a hologram, Jason Donovan?
Holographic. Yes. Yeah.
Yes, because that's when we all went. We went together to visit the... Well, to go and see War of the Worlds live, didn't we? And there was a hologram of Liam Neeson on stage, and it punched out a real-life Jason Donovan.
And we wouldn't have missed it for the world.
Let's have that BE.
Yeah, let's do BE.
If you've been paying attention this evening, you'll know this. BE, the most common expression used by the Doctor Who team this year.
Beyond excited.
Well done.
Ooh, now we've got a bit of choice now again, haven't we?
Yeah, we've opened it up a bit, haven't we?
Mm.
We nearly got stuck, Hayden.
We did.
God, can you imagine the first year we never make it across?
We get banished to the Phantom Zone or...
So we have AFWS now.
Let's do it.
AFWS, please, Doc.
AFWS. Shock Blu-ray Extra reinstated to the Season 22 box set.
Oh, a fix with Sontarans.
Mm.
Well done.
Ooh, we're quite close now, aren't we?
Yeah.
Do you want to do Jeff?
Well, he's all right, but it's not really my type.
Not what I'd heard, but okay.
Yeah, GEF, please.
GEF, Mark's surprise cinematic preference.
Oh no.
Oh, we were doing so well.
Is that film?
It has to be, hasn't it? Oh, it's films.
Films. Oh,
Great English Films.
No.
No.
It's a surprise, is it?
It surprised me and Hayden. When you admitted to it.
Oh, it's not an... Oh, God. Is it an actress? G.E.?
No.
Is it an actor?
No. It's a genre.
Oh, God, I don't know.
You giving up?
Gardening enthusiast films. I don't know. come on, Mark.
It's...
Yeah, I give up.
Okay, yeah.
It's German expressionist films.
Oh, right, yeah. No, well, yes. That's quite an old one, isn't it?
Hmm.
I've been having to go quite far back.
Yeah, I think... yeah, because I did used to watch a lot of those with... because at the time, I think my eldest daughter Polly was studying them as well for her A-level, so it's probably about 4 years ago or something. Wow.
C-A-T-R, please, Doc.
C-A-T-R. Mark and Doc's original planned dress code for Capital 5.
Crocs and tiger robes.
It's not going well, this one, is it?
C-A-T-R. No. Oh, something at the ready.
No.
Wow. What's happened to us?
Oh, no.
It's cosplaying as Tranquil Repose.
Oh, God. Yes.
I wouldn't have got that one.
No. But let's have DG.
Well, yeah, we'll have to do DG now.
DG. Oh, you'll know this one.
Oh. I'm not sure about that.
DG. The world's best keyboard player.
Oh, Dave Greenfield.
Yeah.
Well done.
As said on our podcast by Gary Russell, isn't it? Let's do HD.
HD. The second Doctor's first words to the first Doctor.
How do?
Hello, Dad.
Well done.
Yeah.
Oh. I don't know where that came from.
That must have been from when we did Troughton's, the anniversary of Troughton's passing. And I said while they were making the, I think they had that, when they were doing the regeneration, they had to lay feet against each other. And Hartnell looked down at Troughton and Troughton looked up at him and went, hello, Dad.
That's
it, yes. I'm looking at SNWHO.
Yeah, okay, let's have SNWHO.
And this is to win the game, SNWHO. Why our Peter Purvis interview at Capital 4 could have gone so wrong?
WH is West Ham.
Yeah.
Spurs knock West Ham out?
No.
maybe if knock began with an N, Hayden, but...
Oh, for God's sake, yeah.
but it was Spurs
right.
Lost to West Ham.
So?
Spurs 0, West Ham 1.
And that's Blockbusters.
Oh, no. How could you end Blockbusters on that?
We finished on Spurs 0 West Ham 1. Sorry, Hayden.
Well played.
I must say, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Maybe I've had a very interesting year. I'd have to look for more and more obscure questions. I mean, that Gallifrey's Galaxy Globetrotters has been hanging around since our second year. Because it's been right at the top. No one's ever chosen.
Crazy, isn't it? That's from like 2015, isn't it? Yeah.
So well done.
Thank you. Now that was a well curated gold run. That was. Thank you.
Enjoyed that. Thanks.
So let's go back to the atrium, and I think we ought to take our leave now, don't you, Hayden? Wouldn't Mark? Would you? Let me just hand you a couple of tapers.
Mm-hmm.
Would you care to light the candles on our Advent crown, please?
All right, let me just get my lighter out.
No, is that a swan?
I'm never alone without my swan, Mark, as you well know.
Oh, Uncle Terence, you managed to find your way out of the Play Your Cards Right studio, did you?
Yeah.
We'd like to wish you a very happy Christmas, Uncle Terence. Have you got anything you'd like to say to us?
Yes, sir. Good tidings we bring to you and your king. Your cyber king, actually, as a matter of fact. And, yeah, I just want to say I wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And who knows, our Band-Aid might chart again this Christmas. You never know.
Anything else?
Not really, Doc. No, it's been a slow year.
Got no particular advice for us and the listeners?
Not really, no. I've been in carbonite the entire year because the time dams have broken, obviously, due to the cost of living crisis, unfortunately, you see.
Oh, what's that noise coming from outside? Uncle Terence, Uncle Terence. It's our old friends from the Chalk Farm Salvation Army Band.
Get my gun.
Could you open the main doors, computer?
Stand back, Terence.
Right, well, we'll go out with the... Have you got your coats on, guys? And your gloves and scarves? And we'll join the carol singers to go around Biscuit Factory Square.
I think the Advent crown is taking quite well, so it should be nice and warm by the time we get back in. In fact, if it burns for much longer, I think we'll be keeping the whole village warm.
Have a safe Christmas and a warmer New Year, listeners.
Yes, yeah, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year to everyone.
And Merry Christmas to all of you at home.
Take care, one and all, and God bless us, everyone.
Goodbye.
Bye.
To the Diddly Dum Podcast. Find us on our blog at diddlydumpodcast.wordpress.com, on Facebook, Audioboo, and Stitcher.com at Diddly Dum, on iTunes at Diddly Dum Podcast, on Twitter at diddly_dum, or email us at diddlydumpodcast@yahoo.co.uk. Diddly Dum. It is liquid podcasting. Fit it in your ear.